outside the building. This is the traditional way, the Jewish way of spending the outside the Jerusalem. The second thing I want to mention is someone was kind enough to bring over a gift from the group. We brought it up before. Tonight, we've been spending a lot of time discussing women's relationship to Lento. And essentially, the bottom line is that women are not obligated in learning Torah, what we call Torah Lishma. It means pure learning of Torah. That's an obligation that devolved upon men. It is, even if you're really a man, one has an obligation, a man has an obligation to learn Torah, whether it's relevant or not. And in many of these yeshivot, in fact, it was a literature they spent a lot of time learning, Kutchim and Tara, these things are totally irrelevant, at least nowadays. It deals with the Korbanot, the Beit HaMikdash, and the laws of ritual purity, which are essentially primarily irrelevant now. However, when it comes to women are obligated to learn Torah, and because women have to know how to function as Jews, and within the Jewish community, and as we saw, the halacha developing in the modern period, where we're not living in a closed society, we're not living in a society in which one learns primarily from the home. Also, primarily because the folks we saw that as Jews, we're constantly being challenged. We live in an open society. The walls begin to come down. The walls, at some time when we lived there in Israel, we molded our society. Then we went into Galus, but somehow the Jews always lived together and the Goyim forced them together. When the emancipation occurred, things began changing dramatically. And then when we began being attacked by secularism, and then by the masculine, and splits between Hasidim and Mitnagdim, and all sorts of movements, conservative, reform, reconstruction, where splits began inside, it became very, very clear that in order to function Jewishly, in order to remain Jewish, you had to be knowledgeable. So you had to be extremely knowledgeable. And therefore the postman say that essentially when it comes to women, what they're obligated to learn is whatever that's needed, as much as they needed to learn to make the Jewish. And nowadays, women's education and the Torah is at an extremely high level. I would still say, and this is a point we need to get at, that Aaron Lichtenstein mentions in the article, there's an article that I gave by Rav Amital, who makes this point and says, Jewish society is still not yet ready to make women equal to men in total. Somehow, we still don't encourage our women to devote themselves to the way men do. We're perfectly all right that a man go into college, spend 5 years learning. Somehow, except for maybe a few institutions, maybe tens of women, you don't find women or the Jewish community supporting women to spend a long period of time seeing women. And partially this, the Rav Aaron seems to feel that maybe it's not so bad. He feels that somehow we should educate our women to realize that they play a very important role in holding the family together. And realizing that is a very fundamental role. But Rav Aaron also at the same time is if a woman needs Torah to function, to be Jewishly, then what she needs. But the bottom line, I think, it just, saying that does not make a woman obligated. Okay, now let's put it this way. She is obligated to function. Does that mean she's obligated in Talmud Torah? I think this is a very important question. Let me try to explain to you what's bothering me. When we say, yeah, she needs to know whatever needs to function, does that mean that that she's chayav in Talmud Torah. No, it doesn't. It means that she doesn't know what it takes to function. If that means learn, then she's got to learn. The acid test would be, we'll do what's called the Gedanken experiment. Okay, thoughts. A woman knows it all, and a man knows it all. Does the woman have an obligation to learn? Does the man have an obligation to? That's the experiment we've just done, which proves that a woman doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because mitzvah Talmud Torah, you have an obligation to learn. A woman has an obligation to know. Okay? Whatever it takes. Right. De facto may mean no difference. It may make no difference. So we would say. Although we're going to now raise an issue where that question is all, that question, that fine line, is all the difference in the world. Yes?
But you said that there are tens or twenties of periods of seeing the world. If they need
a... I mean, it's a long period.
Including the taking of time to having a baby, etc., etc. That's all included in the nature of the, excuse me, animal. But I mean, that's the nature of the human animal. So, would it be right to say that a woman is permitted,
but not permitted? Yes, that's exactly right. What the Poskim said, it's a reshut. It's a reshut, but she's not obligated. The point is that the Poskim can make it very clear that nowadays we do have, they have an obligation. Because you can't, the obligation is more, how should I put it? It's a, well, I would say it's a pragmatic obligation. You cannot function nowadays as a Jew without being nowadays. That's the way it is. I think one of the hardest part of becoming a chozer b'tshuva is the tremendous amounts that you have to learn. And most chozer b'tshuva that I've talked to said, it's a good thing we didn't know what you had to learn when we started. Because if we had known, we made it, that would have been a tremendous psychological barrier. Nice. And they always talked about the rabbis who were told them, you know, you do what you know, and you function, and you grow in Torah. Torah is not, you know, not something that you know all at once.
Well, my case, I had the opportunity, a very pleasant opportunity, to meet a few columnists of the Jerusalem Post. Among others, Sarah Loney, who is my favorite, and also Jonathan Rosenthal. And we talked at length, my husband and I, with him. And he said, I said, how long ago have you become a Chozer b'Tshuva? 20 years ago. And right away, I was typically Yiddish, but after he started to know about his son, who is 19 years old, and he's just a genius, nothing less. He's so wonderful. It was so really good. But it took him 20 years. Yes. But he seems learned.
Yes, but yet he's an exception. I met several people like him. Like there's a guy who's a dare, Anthony Fiorino. After three years, this man knew all of Soloveitchik code. There's some great people.
He's a genius.
Yeah, well, no, there's no question about it. Anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand. It's Eitan. No, let's go back to it. All right. Anyway. One of the fundamental issues we have to do is with Birkat Torah. Open your seder. On page 15. On page 15, I assume it's the same in all the pretty much all the editions. Page 15, right in the main, the first page where it says Modani, right?
Modani.
So you open your eyes in the morning, you say Modani, and then first thing you do is he has an obligation to wash your hands. And you say Asher Yatzar, and a Shema. These are the Birkot Hashachar. Morning that you take stock, you know, everything's functioning well. Right after you finish Baruch Shema, right after you finish Asher Yatzar and a kind of Shema, although I think the States used to say a kind of Shema after Birkot Torah. In any case, the bottom of page 16. Right. We have this, we have, on the bottom of page 16, we have the Birkot HaTorah. 16. 16, next page. Birkot HaTorah. And what are the Birkot HaTorah? There is a machloket between Rashi and Tosvot, whether we're dealing with two brachot or three brachot. Tosvot maintains we're dealing with two brachot, and the two brachot are as follows. Let's read it differently. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם, אשר קידשנו במצוותיו וציוונו לעסוק בדברי תורה. לעסוק בדברי תורה. מה זה לעסוק בדברי תורה? To be busy. To be what? Occupy yourself. Right. Look at the bottom, however, the perush of Tau, Shlomo Tau. לעסוק ללמוד. That is perhaps what we would normally understand it to mean, lasok, but it's very interesting. You know, Chazal know the word lumot. The word lasok, I think everybody has to be strange. It's a strange terminology. We'll come back to it a little bit later. Then we had ve'ha'arevna. According to Rashi, this is the beginning of the second bracha. The first bracha is a short bracha, and then we have a second bracha. According to Tosfot, according to Rashi, it began. Ha'arevna. According to Tosfot, he says, no, it's the continuation of the previous bracha, therefore you say, v'ha'arevna. But it's sort of a v'ha'arevna, that's continuation, says Tosfot, of the previous bracha. V'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu, and may be pleasant upon us, O Lord. Divrei Torahcha, the words of the Torah, b'finu b'fiyamcha b'yisrael, in our mouths, and the mouths of the house of Israel, v'ni'anachnu v'tzitza'enu v'tzitza'eyamcha b'yisrael, they are children, and the children of all the house of Israel. Kulanu yodei shemecha, all the know your name, v'lomdei Torahtecha shereh, and learning Torah b'shma, baruch atah Hashem, ha'melamei Torah v'nesu, because of thou who teaches Torah his people. The next bracha, the third of Kodatos, the second bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem Bacham Banu Mikol Amin, chosen us from all nations. V'natananu et Torah, and you gave us the Torah. Now my father was pointing out that the chosen people, the idea of chosenness is not the first question. The chosenness throughout Davening, chosenness is responsible. Hashem Bachabanu, v'natananu et Torah. Right? This is the Yerusha Shabbat. And the Davin for Yotam is Shabbat. Why do we call it the Kiddushan of the Mitzvah? It's Bechira in the Kaddish with the Mitzvah. It's chosenness for responsibility. This is not the way the chosen people is understood by Christians. Chosenness is for privilege, for special. The Jews would often say with a lie, smile, I wish you weren't so special. I wish you were so chosen. Okay, now I want you to think for a moment about the nature of these brachos. Right? Because, first of all, the first question about the bracha, and it should bother you, because this is inherent to the question we're going to ask. V'tzivanu la'asav, it should have said v'tzivanu l'mot Torah. It doesn't say that. Lasok b'divrei Torah, to deal, be occupied with the matters of Torah.
So it's not that just money you have to do, you have to do it.
It would seem like
the word.
Right, I mean the words, the word that's to see it, but it does before. I want you to be said the formulation is weird. It's strange because you've made a lot of brachot in your life. You know, you want to do business, you say, Alatilat Ulam, Alatilat Jadayim, right? The Kram Mikra Megillah. So say, Hashem Yom Tzom 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 Tzom
Tzom Tzom.
Okay, so you're saying, okay, but you have to understand that's pretty strange too. Because,
not the Basav, because you're actually dealing with, you're not just sitting and learning, you're applying what you're learning.
Living.
Right.
Living to
I am saying this every day.
So should everyone else. So should everyone else. You're right and I'm right.
This is my goodness. I cannot help. Every time I say, after I write down the Shura, et cetera, et cetera, and I say, mi pronomi della Talaga, eccetera. La subjetivator. I can't help it. Every time it crosses my mind, and I don't like to digress, I want you to know I am a terrible yet. When it comes to gathering, and I notice that I tailed off, which happens everywhere.
What was the thought that you did?
But you know what I do? I go back.
So what bothers you? What bothers me
is this is for a man.
No, why is this for a man?
Because
that's exactly the issue we want to deal with.
No.
That's exactly the issue we want to deal with. I want to know what type of bracha. What type of bracha is this? Is this only for men? If it had said, Asher Kichanu Mitzvotav Vitzivanu Lulmo Torah, Tzivanu Al Talmud Torah. Now, wait a second. This is lasso. That's okay. Now, the next part. V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu Devei Torah. May the words of the Torah be pleasant upon us and upon our children. Right?
Well, I'm Chai Yisrael. It doesn't say just
the Torah. It doesn't say it at all, right? I'm the major. Teaches Torah to the people of Israel. Teaches Torah because we have to know how to function. We have to be able to do mitzvah. What about the next bracha? Asher bracha banu mikol ha'amim v'natan lanu et Torata. It applies to Chai Yisrael, right? All right. So, it's not, on the one hand, let me just try to formulate it a little bit differently. I want to know what's the nature of this bracha. Is this bracha a birkat ha-mitzvah? You know, there are two types of, think about it, there are several types of bracha that we have. One type of bracha we have is what's called birkat ha-mitzvah. Hashem shalom, Hashem basukah. Right? I'm doing a mitzvah, and I cannot, I'd say, God, you commanded me, and I'm doing it. Right? There are other type of bracha, which is a birkat ha-sheva. Birkat ha-sheva, it gives praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Or send us a reshit, right? Send us a reshit is a birkat ha-sheva. Right? You say a rainbow, you say, Zocher ha-brit ve-nechat ha-brit ha-chayam ha-mamam. I'm just trying to show you what show off. And I actually know the bracha by it. Okay. Okay, so you know, there's a bracha that you make it a sheva. There is a brother bracha or the davening are brikot hasheva. They're called brikot hatfila, brikot hasheva.
They don't say
asher kishanu mitzvotav. They don't.
It has to be a brikot hasheva.
No, there's a brikot hasheva.
But they don't say
asher kishanu mitzvotav. So therefore, they're not mitzvah brachas, but they are sheva brachas.
Right, but this can't be.
Well, hold on for a second. Think of your best. Then there's another category called Birkat Anein, Brachot of Pleasure. It creates, the Ma'ah. There's still other Brachot of
Shah.
Borinim and Samin. Is a Birkat Shehenana. They're made specifically for a pleasure, for some pleasure. Okay? Now, there are Brachot that the post can struggle with as what their nature is. Okay? Let me just give you an example of a bracha that the post came up a very rough time with. Let me see here. Yes. Turn to page 133. Okay? 133 has the Brakot Kiddushin Nisui. You have it? Right in the middle of the page?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the first part. Bracha Jonah Golan Barei Pri Agafen. Okay, that's a birkat. That's because you drink wine, so this is done with the Eros. Next, let's go. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Asher Kiddushanu V'Mitzvotav. That sounds like it's what? A mitzvah bracha, right? V'Tzivanu Al Harayot. He commanded us the Harayot. V'asa lanu et arusot, v'hita lanu et nesuot lanu ha'yidei chupa v'kidushin. Baruch ato Hashem mekadesh amo Yisrael ha'yidei chupa v'kidushin. Right? What type of bracha is that? Is that a birkat ha-mitzvah? Is that a birkat ha-mitzvah which says, I'm about to do a mitzvah? If it does, it doesn't tell you what mitzvah you're about to do, does it? Well, it's not clear that was a big discussion.
This is a kind of bracha like the Sher Bachar Banu, what makes us different from
all of them. It sounds right. So what would you call it?
I don't know.
connection in the sense of getting married.
We call it
what makes us different people. It's what makes us
so what would you call it? So some posts can say it's a Birka Nemitzah because it says a Shek and Shalom, but the whole spin of the Brahman goes off in a different direction. It would sound like a Birka Neshevach, a Birka Netfilah. We get praised about our state, that we've been sanctified in the midst of that. Ashek Yicharam is a Vitzivanu. So it is a Vitzivanu. It does say that. Ashek Yicharam is a Vitzivanu. And a Rayot, and a Thou Shalt Not. You don't want to be broken on Thou Shalt Not. You're being broken on Thou Shalt. The post is a rough time. Because the form, the text, moves you into to a mitzvah sort of action, but the whole spin is a Shevach. So, and it has also the ramifications, which I don't want to go into at the moment.
But isn't
that
also La'asot Kedivrei Torah?
Ah!
One moment.
Very good question.
If you, for example, go Victor Holy, it's also La'asot Kedivrei Torah.
So it would seem.
And Lo Aleinu and Shalom
I would say what better? I would say if you go to a store and you live your life according to Choshen Mishpat, you're doing this, it's good. I mean, you deal honestly in business, all that stuff. Could be that. So the question now that we want to ask is, what's the nature of this bracha? We go back to page 16, and you can see that it's not so trivial anymore. If you learn it straight, the way Shlomo Talmud chat, then Lasso means Lilmo Torah, then this is a Birkan HaMitzvah, which has sort of a kick or two. It's a Birkan HaMitzvah, which has a second part, which is a Birkan HaSheva. Baharev is a prayer, right? Baharev, no, may be pleasant. So now, according to Rashi, it comes out very nice. The first part is a Birkan HaMitzvah. The second bracha, which starts Harev, no, is a Birkan HaSheva. And the third is also another Asher Bachaman is also Birkan HaSheva. According to Tosuk, it's a very strange prophet. Sort of starts off as a Birkan HaMitzvah, but it does a quick, spin in the middle and goes up to Birkan HaSheva. Okay. Now, having raised the question, what's the essence of the prophet? Let's now read the start of the page. Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we're reading from the Shulchan Aruch now. This is in Siman Mem Zayin, source number one. Siman Mem Zayin, which deals with the Birkan HaShachar. The Shulchan Aruch there is telling you what Birkan HaShachar have to say. So what is the Shulchan Aruch, right? Nashim mevrachot Birkot HaTorah. Women make Birkot HaTorah. Okay. Now, is there any problem with that language? What? Good question. Cookie asks, it should say, Nashim Chayavot B'Birkot HaTorah. Right? And he doesn't use that formulation. He used the formulation, Nashim Mevachot B'Birkot HaTorah. Okay? Anyone who want to argue that must mean Chayavot? What does the Shulchan Aruch hold about Brachot? What does the Shulchan Aruch hold? A woman cannot make a bracha unless she's Chayavet. Right? A woman cannot make a bracha unless she's chayyedet. And therefore, when the Shulchan Aruch comes and says that a woman can make Birkot HaTorah, it must mean that she's chayyedet. There is no, what? It would seem that there is no other way of understanding. The language is strange, but maybe he wasn't being so machmir in his language, right? Maybe, but because we know that you can, according to Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, a woman can't make a bracha unless she's chayyedet. Okay? That's the view of the Shulchan Aruch. All right, now let's read the Beit Yosef. Beit Yosef is the Shulchan Aruch's commentary to the Torah. Remember, Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a commentary to the Rambam that was called Kesef Mishnah, and then he wrote a commentary to the Torah, which he called Beit Yosef, and based on that, he sort of digests everything and wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So let's see what he writes on the Torah in the Beit Yosef. Katab Maharil, the Maharil wrote, "Dinashim mevachot Birkot HaTorah, af al pi she'enan chayavot, even though they're not obligated." Now here it means They're not obligated to learn Torah. That's what he means. They're not obligated to learn Torah. V'lo ol, ela, shamalamedet b'tot Torah, kilu malam datifut. We learned that in the Gemara, because that's got the great length, that in the, that the Chazal, as I interpret, was a public policy decision that women should, a man should not, a father should not teach his daughter Torah Shabbat Peh, oral tradition. And it's because she'll take it lightly. Zehu b'tor shukta, that's only in the oral tradition. Aval lo b'tor shukta, not b'tor shukta. So therefore what? That means that there's no problem with a woman learning Torah Shabbatta, even according to the written law as it appears in the Gemara. But all these says, ki hein mevachot al kriyat al kofon. The women, when they make the Birkat Torah, so the first answer says that they made the bracha for the Torah Shabbatta, which they can learn. Second of all, ki hein mevachot al kriyat ha-kavanot. That in the davening, there is a whole section which most of us skip. It's called the kavanot, which is right after the Lubbe Shachar. We read the daily, the section that deals with the kavanot. Now, why do we do that? Because after all, prayer was set up in opposition or in place of the kavanot. So that was the form of avodah. We don't have the kavanot anymore, so we do avodah shabbat. And therefore, Jew said, I will read the Kavanah, and they got counted as if I did the Kavanah. So women, too, who are obligated to pray, can say the Kavanah. Tefillot connected Kavanah. The Tefillot was set up against the Kavanah. Ve'en chayavot b'tefillah. Since women are obligated to pray, v'en chayavot gam kein b'kriyat ha'olah v'kavanah. Therefore, they're also obligated to read the olah v'kavanah. This is a quite astounding statement. So I don't know how to read it, but that's really neither here nor there to the discussion. If women can pray and they can say the regular prayer framework, then they can also say the Kavanot, right? So if they're saying the Kavanot and that's part of the prayer framework, so they're going to be saying, they can say that too. So they make the brachot on the Kavanot that they're going to read, right? They're gonna make these Birkot HaTorah because they're gonna read Torah. They're gonna read Torah as part of the Kavanah. Kol Shekein, Afortiori, he says, Kol Shekein, the Divrei Sevnei Mitzvot HaGadol, the Smak, the same Mitzvot HaGadol Shekatav, Shanashim Chayavot L'mod HaDinim HaShayachim Lehem, the women are obligated to learn their Halachot. Okay? And therefore, they certainly can make Birkot HaTorah. That's it. Well, with everybody. That's right. Right? That's not the question. Let me ask questions about the dinim
shishayim.
Yes. Otherwise, the obligation is not on learning. The obligation is on knowing. Of course you gotta learn your deen. It's not a function. Is that a chiyuv of Talmud Torah? The brachot are on Talmud Torah. Asher kishen osa lasa b'divrei Torah. And here, we're assuming, the way Shlomo Tal is, the lasa b'divrei Torah means milvot Torah. It means to learn Torah. Okay? We'll move into other possible interpretations, but we'll be forced into the other possible interpretation. I want to show you that let's learn it the way the question seems to understand that the brachot on mitzvah for learning Torah is a bracha made before one learns Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch wants to justify it based on several arguments. First argument is because women have to daven, and therefore they have to say Kavanot. Second of all, he says, I'm sorry, because the women can learn Torah Shebichtav. I don't say that. Second of all, that she's obligated. Where does it ever say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch? And it says nowhere. You're obligated to read Kavanot. That seems very strange. Thirdly, that they're obligated to learn their halachot. Yeah, they're obligated to learn their halachot. But is that because they're obligated to learn Torah? No, they can't. It's not a question that they can't. The question is that an obligation? Is it a Birkat HaMitzvah? So let's now look. So let's read the Bir HaMitzvah. But anyway, the Shulchan Aruch seems to understand based on these arguments, that as a woman is obligated in Birka HaTorah, right? In fact, the Bir Halacha, which is the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim's explication of the Halacha in more detail, so in his discussion he says, according to the way the Beit Yosef seems to be pushing, understanding this argument, the woman is then obligated. She's obligated that there's an element of Talmud Torah. The fee times that Yecholah Isha lo tzi et ha'ish b'milkot ha'tumah. That a woman and man are obligated equally. A woman has an obligation of Talmud Torah. A man has an obligation of Talmud Torah. Now, let me explain to you what essentially how the Be'er Lachah seems to understand the Yerushalayim of Kara. It makes no difference. We're going to move into alternate interpretations in a moment. But the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to understand Rabbi Yosef Karo is, it really makes no difference why you have to learn Torah. Either have to learn Torah because I'm not allowed to get learn Torah theoretically, or I have to learn Torah because I have to function. After all, a man learns Torah also because he wants to function. Because a woman only learns Torah because she wants to function, does that make her learning Torah lesser? Right? It would seem, says Rabbi Yosef Karo, not. She's got to learn her halacha. That's Talmud Torah. Why do I care why she has to learn Talmud Torah? A man has a direct obligation to know. So he has an additional element. But Talmud Torah has two parts to it. A part which men and women share alike, which is to function. Right? When the Torah says, Bishinandam levanecha, the Torah says, teach your children why. Only so that they should know theoretically? No, it's also they should practice. So according to the way he wants to understand it, he wants to understand that women have an obligation. There's a woman's obligation in Talmud Torah, in learning. It's different than what that I presented before, just now. But that's the only way of learning it. Rabbi Yosef Karo seems to understand that it makes a difference why you have to learn Torah. But the God said, learn Torah, it's learn Torah. The only problem is the problem with the Vilna Gaon, the source number two. Vilna Gaon said,
"Woman is obligated to know, but
not learn." I said, "Right, but how can you know without learning?" So you have to learn. Yeah, that's the okay. Hold on for a second. Let's repeat. Now let's read the Vilna Gaon, and you'll see why I taught until this point. I mean, I taught you based on the conclusion. But you have to understand what forced me into that conclusion. Now we're going to see. Hold on for a second. Two. Right. Zarav dechuyim mikama panim. The Dunagan says the Shukhadar can't be from a variety of reasons. And he says, Kratzavach, the Torah, the Pasuk screams out. Vivimadatem otamed v'nechem. You shall teach the words of the Torah to your sons. And the Gemara said, what? B'neichem v'lo b'notechem. Which was the source that we learned, Gemara Kedushin, that's how we started the whole discussion. That men have an obligation and women don't have an obligation. Right? Heach, right? Heach tomar v'tzivanu. How can she say v'tzivanu v'natan lanu? How can she say that? She wasn't commanded to the Torah. Now he says v'natan, she wasn't given the Torah. Now I find it a little difficult to understand. What do you mean she wasn't given? She was given the Torah because she has mitzvahs to do. I don't understand that. But the first part I understand. How do you say v'tzivanu ha'ikar d'nashim mevorchot al kol mitzvah taseh shasman v'tzivanu? You know why women make brachot on mitzvah? Because women can make brachot on all mitzvahs that are not obligated to.
But if
he's
explaining
the Shulchan Aruch. Very good. So the Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and told him. You're right. Now, the result he's going to do a two-step in a second where he's going to show how the Vilna Gaon worked for the Shulchan Aruch. Very clever. But in the meantime, you're right. So what we have here, what Mishwarzbaum has just said, okay, is that there is a fundamental machloket about the nature of women's Talmud Torah between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. The Shulchan Aruch seems to understand that if a woman has an obligation to learn Torah, that's called Talmud Torah. The Vilna Gaon says, but that can't be. It says, "V'di manatem otam et benechem." The obligation is on the you're the main folk, not on the woman folk. Okay? Therefore, a woman does not have an obligation to learn Torah. Therefore, so how does she make the record of Torah? Because a woman can make a bracha on anything that she's not chayim, right? Any mitzvah that she's not chayim, then she can make the bracha. She can do sukkah, the shofar. All those things, mitzvah, says she has man girl. Tama Torah, she's also not obligated, and she can say tzivani. Says Shelley, that works fine for the Nagon. He's an Ashkenazi Jew. But if I held that the Vilna Gaon, what would the Vilna Gaon say for Sephardi Jews? He says they couldn't make it. The Rebbe says they can't. Okay? So that must mean that they're obligated. Do you understand? There's a problem. There's a fundamental problem in understanding the Shulchan Aruch because the Vilna Gaon is right. The Gemara and Kiddushin say that. The women are not chayav in Talmud Torah. Now, I should point out that there's a very long article, which I did, because we spent so much time first Lubavitcher Rebbe, of Shneur Zalman Milagi, Valentine, who was a tremendous publisher. He also wrote a reworking of the Shulchan Aruch, in which he talks about women's obligation in the Torah, and he says, Vishinantam Rabbanecha talks about a woman's obligation in theoretical knowledge. That's what the Torah is about, theoretical knowledge. That's not relevant. The obligation for a woman to learn Torah comes from a totally different source. There's perhaps like Rabbi Lichtenstein said, that when the Torah gave us the mitzvah, the woman, the mitzvah, Hilchas Nida, or whatever mitzvah a woman has, right? All the lotas saying, and all the mitzvah, the shalos, among giving stuck in, and the shalos, all the mitzvah a woman has. That came with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, to learn the halachot, it's a different source for Talmud Torah. But that doesn't mean she's not obligated in Talmud Torah. Sure, the pasuk said, Mishinantam Lavanecha. That means that a woman, what? That a woman is not obligated to sit in her Torah. She knows it all, her stuff, her theoretical. What she has to function, that she has to learn. It's sources different obligation. It comes with the mitzvah that you get. But that, too, is an obligation of Talmud Torah. That seems to be how the Shulchan Aruch is.
It's a more limited obligation.
Yes. It's a more limited obligation, but doesn't mean it's not an obligation. The Vilna Gaon says not so. The obligation of the Torah comes from the pasuk Vishinatam Levanecha. There's a corner of Yosef Karo, we're going to have to make a distinction.
Levanecha doesn't mean only the
son. Well, it does there, because it's an extra, not necessary. It's not necessary. Could have said, the Zarecha. Whatever the Torah meal means, non-gender children, it's a Zarecha. When it means gender, use the word vanecha, or it's a kamecha levatecha, it's a kolkaris, whatever it is. Okay? And the Chazal generally darshan the vanecha to mean males, because it could have said zarecha. Now, that's a fundamental misunderstanding, a disagreement. Okay, it's according to the Be'er Halacha, look at the Be'er Halacha. The fees said, after two, the fees said, ain't ishai. Ein ishay ber alachem after two. The fize ein ishay yechulah lotzi et ha'ish b'perkat Torah. According to the second reading, according to the Vilna Gaon, a woman and man have different obligations. She says berkat Torah because she opts to say berkat Torah in the Vilna Gaon, like any other mitzvah, but she can't be motzi. It's just the woman can't make this a bracha on mikra on ki ha'shofar or on the sukkah for a male. Because her, she has a lesson. She's not obligated, she's just assuming the responsibility. But she can't be Moses in, because she has an obligation. She has to have the same or greater obligation to be Moses than somebody else. Therefore, a woman can't make the Birkat Torah for a man. Okay? Now, let's now look at Rav Zolti. Rav Zolti now wants to use the Gra, because he believes the Gra's analysis is correct. But he wants to apply it to the Shulchan Aruch. Very clever, how clever he is. Me'ata, Rav Zolti was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Okay. Very wonderful job. Me'ata Shapir Katat HaGra, Shenashim Mevachot Birkat HaTorah. The Gra is right, that women can make Birkat HaTorah. Ki v'shem lo mufkot v'kiyum mitzvah Talmud Torah. They're not excluded from the mitzvah of learning Torah. We tell her to shoot, because after they get married, women can opt to learn Torah. Come on, b'chol mitzvah tasei, shazman v'ramah. if all Pasukim are every time in Shemesh, so the Data Tosfot v'Sha'ar Toskin, Hem Gam v'Bochor, from the Data Tosfot and other Toskin, they can also make the Bracha. Ela Shlodak HaRambam, Hem Lom v'Bochor, which is of course the crux of the problem. Mishum she'inam yicholim lomar v'tzivon, because they can't say v'tzivon, because the person of Rambam and Shemar, you can't say v'tzivon if you're not obligated. Aval kan, hem yicholim lomar. Here, the word can use the word it's not law. Because they are obligated to do this. This is very fancy.
That is
a
very, very, very succinct Yiddish thing. That maybe it's the way we did in Europe, ever since, can a life pass from you.
Did she say that?
Then a maiden is the reason for 7 years.
She's 7 years old.
No.
No?
She's the reason for 7 years. That is, for the Rebbe.
Which I don't see.
She says in English.
I'm not going to translate it because you have to do it. Yeah. When somebody has been for 7 years a servant of a Rebbe, can a line pass get a shot?
Well, that's not what he says here. But what he says here is that, right? A woman is obligated to learn the Torah. Right? She's not obligated because of she's not going to learn the Torah. She's obligated. She's got to learn Torah. She's not obligated because of she's not going to learn the Torah. She's obligated because she's got to know how to function, or because the mitzvah requires her to be obligated. Is she obligated? Has God commanded her to learn?
She has to learn things that apply to herself.
That's right. Can she say Mitzvah? According to everybody, can she say Mitzvah? Listen to the truth.
Yes.
But yes, she's not obligated because of Talmud Torah. She's obligated because of Kiyum HaMitzvah. But is she obligated to learn? Yes. So she comes along and says, Mitzivana, what was the problem with Shukana Siddur Zolti? That she couldn't say Mitzivana. How could a woman, says the Sephardi Toski, how could a woman come along and say, I'm obligated to sit in the sukkah? You're not obligated to sit in the sukkah. Right? So he says, Siddur Zolti, but wait a second. When it comes to Torah, could a woman say, I'm obligated to learn Torah? The answer says, yes. Not for the reason you think. But can she say Mitzvah? Yes. Can a woman say, I'm obligated to learn Torah? Yes, yes, she's obligated to learn Torah. That's how his line checked. Until now, we thought that the only reason the bracha were written for Talmud Torah, these are bracha of Talmud Torah. Okay? These are bracha, I explained to you, it was only going one step further. These are bracha made for Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Who was obligated to Mitzvah Torah? Only me. A woman wants to come along and make these bracha. The question is, can she, normally a woman on the Sephardim can't opt to make a bracha, because the word tzivanu is a misrepresentation of the way they understand it. Tzivanu, part of that means obligated. Can a woman come along and say, I'm obligated to learn Torah? The answer is, yes, because she is obligated to learn Torah. De facto, she's obligated to learn Torah. Because she's obligated to learn.
That's the identified with the man. Because every time I make this and I say that the count of Yisraelu,
right.
I say I wasn't there.
What? No, the point is, now what you're giving is the Ashkenazi answer. The Ashkenazi answer to Vitzivano doesn't mean that it has to reply to me personally. It refers to Klal Yisrael. That's one of the Ashkenazi answers. When he actually says Vitzivano, doesn't mean obligated, it means I'm related to the mitzvah, or Vitzivano means gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvah. The Sephardim get into a bind because they limit Vitzivano to mean obligated. So once the Sephardim say it means obligated, if you're not obligated, you can't let the book, you're a liar. She can't say it. But the Ashkenazim say that's not what Vitzivano means. Vitzivano means the Klal, it means gave us the mitzvah.
That we identify with the men.
No, we're part identifying with the men. It's not I'm doing the mitzvah vicariously. Klai Yisrael got the mitzvah. The men got his obligation, the women got his reshut. But see, what I mean, gave us the mitzvah. That's what it means. If I had said, Baruch Ador Shalakim Amam Asher Natan Lanu at the mitzvah, the Sheva Sukkah, then you would understand. That's how the Ashkenazim understand it. God gave us the mitzvah. But I'm not obligated for that. But see, Natan Lanu at the mitzvah doesn't mean I'm obligated. It means men are obligated. Women can sit if they want to. They have the reshut. That's how we understood it. And we said, proof that we're women are related because they get schar. That's all the Ashkenazim. That's how we started 3 years ago. Right? That was sort of the whole shir, understanding what the word Vitzivanu means. Now we're applying it here. But here we're applying it even fancier. That women are really not obligated to sit and study Torah theoretically. Even though these brachot may talk about studying Torah theoretically, or in the midst of Talmud Torah, women, and don't have, but when they come and say the bracha, they can honestly say Vitzivanu. Because they got to know Torah too. They got to learn Torah too. And they got to learn Torah because they have to know Torah. Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm not going to get
the secret. That's correct.
That's right. Since the continuum.
Nope.
So when a man makes his bracha, he's not making the bracha on the same thing?
Man's bracha, the way Rav Zvolti seems to understand it, if the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that mitzvah called Talmud Torah, she is obligated to learn Torah. But not because of Talmud Torah, but because of she's got to be able to function.
Then you're saying you have two different people who are making the same bracha. One is making a bracha on Talmud Torah, and the other is making a bracha on
Talmud Torah. They're both making it on learning Torah. No. They're both sitting and learning Torah. She's learning Chulin and he's learning Chulin. When he makes the bracha on Chulin, that's cool, and it has nothing to do with it. There it has to do with that's the karmah. She's learning kashrut and he's learning kashrut, right? He's making the bracha because he's not obligated to learn kashrut.
What? If you're saying that it's
the bracha doesn't say learning kashrut. The bracha says learning kashrut.
I understand, but she doesn't need to know it. So how can she make it?
Because can a woman say vitzivanu? And this bracha which says, Shitzivanu, even if the Torah prophet said, Asher Kichel Mitzvotam, but Sivanu Lil Mo Torah. Okay, let's see. Let me explain. Is this bracha relevant to the act? Yes. She's opting to learn. And even if we're a smarty, a woman can do all the mitzvahs that she wants to. Can a woman sit in a sukkah with a smarty? Of course she can. Can she get mitzvah points for it? Of course she gets mitzvah points. She is related to this mitzvah. The only problem is whether the word that Sivanu is a lie or the truth. That's for the smarty, that's the crux. Says Zolti, in this particular Kama Torah, she does have an obligation to learn Torah. It doesn't come from Kama Torah, it comes from Kima Mitzvah. But is she mitzvah to do this action? She's mitzvah to do this action. Because she has a mitzvah to learn Torah. This brach is relevant to her. She's not lying. The only thing that might be a cute question of her of Zolti, suppose she learned something in which she's clearly not mitzvah.
That's what I'm saying about kachin.
Kachin.
She's very kachin.
But the bracha that you make in the morning,
it happens.
The bracha you make in the morning, you make on Torah Shebechtav, you make it on, you say all sorts of things. What follows that bracha is not kachin, immediately. What follows that bracha, and even the kachin, says Rabbi Yosef Karo, but that's karbanos, you know, tefillah comes in of karbanos, so we like, so what comes right after is Birkat HaTorah, the Kriya Shema, all these sukkah from the Torah, which are women and kids will be gathered. What?
Because the Torah is not for women, like,
that's what we're talking about. Okay. Alright. So that's one school, and clearly understand Birkat HaTorah is the Birkat HaMitzvah. The birka about bracha mitzvah to learn Torah, and that's what the whole discussion is. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah, and there's brachas on that mitzvah, and the relatedness of women to that.
Can she see a man?
No, because she means something different to see Bruno than
so she actually is making
bracha
on something different.
On something different. Right. For her, for what is she doing? It's a reshuti. For sure. I agree. The question is whether what she couldn't smart him, whether what she says is truth or not truth. And she's not lying. You don't like it, I'll give you another 6 answers. Just hang in there, baby.
Charlotte,
I understood.
Okay, four. That's now we can. Now we're going to move into kindness. Okay, now we get into all sorts of conceptualization. Okay? Kind of this. Okay? The, you know, there's one option to say, you guys got the and this is what the next thing to say, you guys got it all wrong. These bracha are not brachot mitzvah. You misunderstood. That's what this or next answers are going to be are that these brachot are not brachot mitzvah. Let's see now now this is the view, we're now calling the viewer of kind of risk. We'll have three presentations of that view. One by his son, the Yitzchak, Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. Zev is what it's called, a noble Soloveitchik. The next is Rabbi Aryeh Pomeranchik, who was a Talmud, and the last one is Rabbi Yeshiver Soloveitchik, which we'll see on the source number 6. Let's read what how his son presents with him. Vine, source number 4. Hine, fahikshu ahad nashim v'chod v'chod. It's already been asked about women making the v'chod v'chod. We are free from the obligation of learning Torah. But v'yotel kashir, v'dat ha-ram, and it's even more difficult to go to the Rama, sh'pasak v'per gimel v'chod v'chod v'chod. Da mitzvah sh'anashim t'vot inan l'shav v'chod v'chod v'chod. If a woman is not obligated, she cannot make, even though she's permitted to fulfill it, she cannot make a bracha, she can't say the tzidon. Ve'ek yavachu b'gota Torah, kibim b'ktuvot, if they are not obligated to become a Torah. V'shonati p'ni adoni avimori. Rabbeinu Adon echosid, zecher tzadik v'kadosh l'vracha l'chayer olam haba. Shama. The Birka of the Torah ain't a bracha al kiyum ha-mitzvah. Because I'm set up these brachas for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of learning Torah. But after begin with me at small, the Torah boy bracha. The Chazal felt the Torah for some sense so pivotal to our lives as Jews that learning Torah, obligation or non-obligation, you can't spend a day involved in Torah and learning Torah without it. It has nothing to do with the obligation, it has to do with the centrality. Okay? It is, now, he doesn't really analyze it for me. I'm still not happy yet with the answer. Because so it's not a Birkat HaMitzvah. So what is it? So what is it? Tell me what it is. Okay. I know it has nothing to do with obligation, you say. It's something about this centrality, importance of Torah. That doesn't bother me. The Times has already made the break. This has nothing to do with the obligation to learn Torah. This is a special bracha the Chazal made for now. If that's the case, then I understand the strange. The bracha is strange. Right? So I can understand, I feel, the Chaim says, you know, this brach is strange. It doesn't talk. It talks about the Bachar Banu and the Baharev Nod. It focuses on the uniqueness of Torah. It's the uniqueness of Torah that requires the brach. Let's continue. Uki alfin in love with brach of Daf Chaf Aleph. Like the Gemara says in Daf Chaf Aleph, Mikra, the Kishem Hashem Ekra. How do I know that you have to read? You have to make good of it. Because the pasuk says, "Kishem Hashem Eka." When I mention God's name, "Havu Godel Elokei," you give praise to God. And from there, the Gemara says that when you read the Torah, one has to make brachot. Okay. In Cain, Ein Zedin Shishayach La Mitzvah Kla. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. It has to say, what's the drasha? What did Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu Azim says, "Kishem Hashem Eka." When I mention, I talk of God's name, and it means meaning the way the mercy of others. When I say the words of Torah, Havu Godel, give praise to God. Does it say that? Has to do with obligation? It says, when I say Torah, give praise to God. So, by the way, this seems to understand that it's a bracha sheva. It's a sort of a bracha praise. Right? because the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to say, how many brachot are little away? How many brachot are little away? The Gemara says, well, clearly, Berkat HaMazon, because it says, Ha'alter, Sevata, Udei Achta, Et Hashem Alakecha, Al Ha'aretz HaTobah Hashem HaTobah. And based on that verse, you learn that you that it says, Ha'alter, Sevata, Udei Achta, Okay, at the Shem Elokecha, Al Ha'aretz HaTobah, Hashem HaTobah. The Gemara knows that you have to have one bracha, that you do bracha for food. Then the Gemara says, Al Ha'aretz, you have to mention, the Lo Delecha, you talk about the Al Ha'aretz, right? Then you have to have, so the Gemara learns out from the, at the Shem Elokecha, Al Ha'aretz HaTobah, Shem HaTobah. So the first bracha has to deal with Zan. The second bracha has to talk about the covenant between the Shem Elokecha. The third has to go there, the Shem Elokecha. Anyway, so the Gemara says you have to have three brachas. The fourth bracha is a rabbinic bracha that came in later, after the day time. But then the Gemara says, is there another bracha? The Gemara says, yeah, Birkat HaTorah. Okay, so how do you know that? B'Shem Hashem Echa. The Bible says, B'Shem Hashem Echa. Havel Bodem Le'elokei. When I declare, read God's word, the word of the Torah, give praise to God. That's the Gemara's drasha. That's what he's referring to. He says, this has nothing to do with obligation. This bracha has to do with the uniqueness of Torah. Okay? In Cain. Okay, well now, that means like one line after the end of the end of the line. In Cain. Ain't the din sheshayach la mitzvah. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Like the Torah, it's not to the bracha. This is Torah, learning Torah requires a bracha. To the uniqueness of Torah. The Nashim Tumah, the Nakhni Am Mitzvah Shah. Women are only out free from the obligation to them. And then, move to the Ot, the Ezra Kedisha Shah. They're not excluded from Torah learning. Women are related to Torah learning. The Limudam Ha'am Bechlat Torah Torah. When women learn, they're learning Torah. That's clear. They get mitzvah points for the rest. The sharp variation that happens of bracha when you're done. Since the bracha is about the uniqueness of Torah and learning Torah, Hishem Hashem Ekra, then women have to make this bracha. He went to low actinin on them because lata the kiyum and it's the bracha. It's nothing to do with the obligation of learning the limit of Torah. I can draw. That's the end of my father's. Okay, so that's essentially what says, and that's the name of the celebration. Let's continue. Ulefize, yesh makom lomar, the might of Tanilim of Masechta Torah, and based on this, we can now understand what it says in Masechta Sofer. That korei the kitvei kodesh. The more Masechta Sofer has records the customs. It seems that this was written in the Savaroi period. The Talmud period ends approximately 500 There's another couple of generations which were not very creative in creating new literature. Their role was they were the link to the next period, which is the period of the Gaon, which begins around 700. Which were extremely creative. They were the link, and they essentially consolidated, they were editors, they consolidated the Torah. But they did write some minor tractates in which they codified what were the customs in their period and also the end. And that one of this is the one of them is Masechet Sofer. Interestingly, we don't always pass it back in the second, so it doesn't have the same authority as the regular Gemara. Okay? So it goes on. The Maida Tanina of Masechet Sofer, that which is written in Masechet Sofer, that Korei B'Kitvei HaKodesh, Mevorech HaShem Yisharu, B'Mezutah B'Tzivanu HaKitvei HaKodesh. Actually, since the read in the Kitvei HaKodesh, right? It's presumably in public. Right? Makes this bracha Hashem Yisharu Tzivanu HaKitvei HaKodesh. Not Korei B'Megillah, that bracha we don't have, but the next bracha we do have. Not Korei B'Megillah, Mevorech HaMeit B'Megillah. Ein Zeh Klal Birkot HaMitzvah says the Chaim son. These are not Birkot HaMitzvah. Don't get the Birkot HaMitzvah. Even though they use the word Hashem Yisharu Tzivanu HaKitvei HaKodesh. Rak tiknu bracha af etzem kri the Sippur. The rabbis set it up, these brachot up, for reading of these sections in Sippur. The aim for Mishum Mata Adam Mitzvah, this is not because of the obligation of Talmud Torah. The Nirah Dezuri Shitaram, this is going to be the Rambam. The Zer Shepilet, that's where the Rambam made a distinction, Beinam, the Piyat Ha'alev, the Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam made a distinction between the custom of reading Kohelet and right, where the Rambam says that you can make a bracha, and the custom of reading Halal from the Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam says you can make it. Now, our custom is on the Rosh Chodesh not to read the whole Halal, but on the Dilu. You should know that the Svarbit is a big book, because the Gemara makes clear that this is an old, old custom. And there's a fundamental machlok of where you can make brachot in custom. So for some strange reason, says Rabbeinu, the Rambam passed that you can't make brachot in custom. And therefore you can't say the halal bracha and Rosh Chodesh. And yet the Rambam does permit the recitation of a bracha before the reading of Kohelet, Echa, which are not obligations, they're just very, very old customs. And then the Rambam says, you can't make a bracha. What? The Bekriyat HaHalel Shehi Birkat HaMitzvah, because that's a Birkat HaMitzvah. Ain't the bracha in a minute. You don't take customs on the Rambam Pasuk, you don't make customs on the Rambam Pasuk. The Etzem HaLimu, that's part of Talmud Torah. Okay, the custom is only doing in public, right? But that's Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah gets its own bracha, then it gets brachas. The Etzem HaLimu Ba'atzmah Hu Dover Shetuim Bracha, learning Torah gets a bracha. Gam Belotin Mitzvah Shiyesh Yosef. Even without an obligation, there is such a concept of reading Torah, of learning Torah. So the Chazal set up a bracha for that obligation of any Torah. Rabbi Meir Tam, Rabbi Yosef, the Gam Hatam Gabi Kriyat Megillah, Kriyat Tov, the Katam, the Kata Mitzvah, the Zeshu Yudim Minah, Gam Mahalel, the Gam Birkat HaMitzvah Ita. But the Rabbi Tam's analysis is different. The Rabbi Tam holds, no, just as you can make a bracha on the reading of the Megillah, because there is a Birkat Mitzvah, so you can do it. So Rabbi Tam says that, therefore, Ashkenazim and make a bracha on reading the halal, which is our custom questions. How do you understand what the nature of the bracha is on reading the Megillahs? Not Megillah Esther. That's a real rabbinic obligation. But I'm talking about the minig of reading Echa, or what our minig is to make bracha. And there's so what's up with it? So the question is, how do we understand this bracha? Where is the bracha? What's the nature? So says Rebelbo, no. Because the Rambam, there's a distinction. Because one is once I understand, explain the Rambam's distinction between the bracha of Hallel and the bracha of reading this Megillah, even though they're both customs, as Torah gets its own bracha. That's such a concept. Torah is important, gets bracha. Hallel doesn't get a bracha, but you don't get bracha as a custom. Okay. Since we'll stop here, because I don't want to, just a second. 5 more minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes, we'll stop here. We'll stop here, and we'll continue next week, and then we'll go headlong into... I appreciate if you return this, we'll use them again next week, and then we'll have other pages for next week.